Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Now, do we know everything there is to know about gravity? The answer is certainly not, but we're making some progress. Marcus Chown is the author of The Ascent of Gravity, the quest to understand the force that explains everything. Good afternoon, Marcus.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Is gravity a force?
Very, very good question. Newton thought it was a force, that there was some kind of invisible elastic that attached the Earth to the Sun and kept the Earth going around the Sun. But Einstein showed that that's actually incorrect, that what a mass like the Sun does is it warps or bends the space-time around it. It creates a valley around it. We can't see it, which is why it took a genius like Einstein to realize, but the Earth goes around the rim of this valley, rather like a roulette ball around a roulette wheel. So actually there isn't any force at all, according to Einstein. The Earth is just moving in the natural way it would through a kind of a hilly landscape of space-time that we can't actually see.
Right. So it's almost like if we imagine space-time as mud, that the Sun has somehow made a groove in it, and the Earth is just a ball that goes around in its groove.
Exactly, exactly. And if you think that this is a ridiculous picture, well, if space-time is something that you can actually bend and warp, you could actually make a ripple go through it, just like a ripple on the surface of a pond. And that's it. That's a gravitational wave. And they were detected on Earth for the first time on the 14th of September 2015. So this picture of Einstein's turns out to be the correct one.
Now, what is... So maybe an appropriate question, and this is the mind-bending start of stuff. What is space-time?
Well, that is... I mean, you asked me a really good question at the beginning, and this is another really good question, because, you see, once we know that gravity actually doesn't exist as a force, okay? I mean, you may think there's something pinning your feet to the ground, but in fact, there's a valley in the space-time around the Earth, and you're trying to fall to the bottom of that valley, but the surface of the Earth gets in the way, you know? So once we know that, in fact, gravity is an illusion, it's only the bending of space-time, then, as you say, the question is, what is space and what is time? And that's where we are at this moment. That's where we are. So first of all, we thought that Newton's picture was correct. Then we thought that Einstein's picture was correct. Now we're trying to figure out what the hell space-time is. And that is the absolute frontier of physics. We think that both space and time didn't actually exist in the very beginning. So we think that the universe began in a big bang and there was no space and time, and it suddenly emerged. But how it actually emerged, we don't know. So, you know, when you said we don't know about gravity, that's why I wrote my book, because this is the final third of my book is the frontier, where I phone physicists all around the world to try and, you know, to get some idea of where we're going. But we don't know the answers to these questions yet. So what is space? What is time? Where did the universe come from? What is the universe? These are really fundamental questions which physicists at the frontier are trying to answer now.
Are space and time then two separate things, or is it one thing called space-time?
You do know a lot about this subject, don't you?
I wish.
Well, absolutely right. I mean, Einstein was the person who realized that space and time are actually part of the same thing. Okay, it's not apparent at all. And you have to travel very, very close to the speed of light now to see that is the case, and that space can actually turn into time and back, you know, and time into space. That's only apparent if you're traveling at the speed of light. Now, if you imagine that in an airliner, you're traveling at something like a millionth of the speed of light. This is why it's never been obvious to us. We've always thought space and time are separate, but actually, at those kind of speeds, they are the same thing. So there is this seamless fabric called space time, which oddly enough, Einstein didn't actually recognize it. It was his professor, Hermann Minkowski, who famously actually said that Einstein was a lazy dog and would amount to nothing, which is a bit like actually saying, you know, turning down the Beatles. But he was the one who later recognized that his student was not stupid and to his great credit realized that Einstein had done something important. And he realized that space and time were a seamless thing. So we now talk, physicists don't talk about three dimensions of space and one at a time, you know, so up, down, east, west, north, south, and past, future. They talk of four dimensions of space-time. But again, in the everyday world, because we live in the ultra-slow-motion world, none of this is apparent. It's only apparent when you approach the speed of light.
Right. Okay. So gravity isn't a force. It's just a ripple in the space-time. How much energy do you need to generate to cause a ripple in space-time?
Well, there's a good question. It turns out if you wave your hand, you create gravitational waves. You create ripples in space-time. You know, and if you had a gravitational wave detector on the nearest star, you could detect that in 4 years' time. But it turns out, if you imagine vibrating a drum skin, you know, it's easy to vibrate because it's flexible. It turns out that space-time is a billion, billion, billion times stiffer than steel. So it's incredibly difficult to vibrate and create appreciable gravitational waves. So this event that we detected in 2015 was two black holes, two monster black holes merging. And to give you some idea of how violent this event was, if you imagine a hydrogen bomb, something like a kilogram of mass disappears, and it reappears as heat, you know, equals mc squared, it reappears as the fireball. In this event, when these two black holes merged to form one, in a split second, three times the mass of the sun vanished and reappeared as gravitational waves. And these gravitational waves, very briefly, were 50 times more powerful than all the stars in the universe put together. So this is the single most violent and powerful event ever witnessed by human beings. And it's those kind of events are the only things that we can detect. So by the time, this happened 1.3 billion years ago, and those waves have been spreading out across space, getting just like waves on a pond, they get weaker and weaker. And when they came to the Earth, they stretched and squeezed everything, including you, as they went through. But they were so small at that point that to detect it, the physicists used a ruler, which was 4 kilometers long, and it changed its length by 100 millionth the diameter of an atom. And that's what they detected, which is unbelievable achievement. And it's almost certainly they'll get the Nobel Prize, the 2017 Nobel Prize for Physics. So, yeah, you know, you do need these violent events to create appreciable gravitational waves, but they're still very difficult to detect.
Right. Now, there is general relativity, and that's just big things, as you've been describing there.
Yeah.
And then there's the quantum universe, which is atoms and smaller.
Yeah.
If we go smaller and smaller and smaller, is there a point at which space-time doesn't exist and perhaps there's some other ingredient X underpinning all of this?
Exactly. That's exactly what people think. That's exactly. Because what quantum means is chunks. Everything comes in chunks. Since 1900 or shortly after that, we realized that everything... The universe is like a newspaper photograph that you look at very close and you see it grainy. So energy comes in chunks. We often call it, you know, like photons. Time, we think, comes in chunks. Everything comes in chunks. So we actually think space and time also come in chunks. So you're absolutely right. If we had a super microscope and we could zoom in on a bit of space and we could look closer and closer and closer, we would come to a point, we think, when it would fragment into chunks. We don't know exactly how that would happen, but we think that that's what actually, you know, eventually space-time actually kind of dissolves and crumbles. And so if you look at it in the reverse direction, then it emerges from something else. So we don't know what that something else is. It's very, very difficult to come up with a physical theory when we're describing the something from which space and time has come, when we haven't got the language, you know, to actually describe it. All of our language uses almost implicitly a time sense.
Yeah.
So it's quite difficult to do it.
Is that at least in part because the Big Bang, if we go back in time far enough, past a certain point in time, none of everything we've been talking about makes any sense.
Exactly. Nothing makes any sense. That's right. And that's so interesting because we know Newton was wrong. Einstein supplanted him, but we know Einstein was wrong as well. Because as you say, at the moment, the galaxies of which we live in one are flying apart like pieces of cosmic shrapnel in the aftermath of the Big Bang. And if we run that expansion backwards like a movie in reverse, we come to the Big Bang. Everything gets concentrated more and more and more. The universe becomes denser and hotter. And if what Einstein predicts is in the beginning, it was infinitely hot, infinitely dense. Now, when you get infinity in a physical theory, it's telling you that your physical theory is wrong. You know, this is just unphysical. So we know Einstein's theory, incredibly, actually contains within it the seeds of its own destruction. It's saying that it's wrong. And we think, you just mentioned quantum theory, but by uniting quantum theory and Einstein's theory of gravity, we may be able to see back to the beginning and see how it, what it was really like. But at the moment, the theory that we have, Einstein's theory, predicts nonsense at the beginning.
Yeah. Are there even any indications of, you know, directions of research that might, where it might be possible to unite those two things and make some sort of sense of it, as mad sounding as that sense is?
Well, first of all, we don't know if the theory that unites them will be looked like either of the two theories. It may not be a quantum theory of gravity. It might be something different. Interestingly, you've probably heard of string theory.
Mm-hmm.
This is the idea that the actual building blocks of matter are not tiny microscopic billiard balls, but they're kind of, you know, little vibrating bits of string, like violin strings. This is a very esoteric theory and a very trendy theory. The one thing, I mean, it's got several things going for it, but one thing that's going for it is it is the only theory we know that unites these, like Einstein's theory and quantum theory. So within this, string theory is a quantum theory, and within it is a vibration of a string which looks like a graviton. Okay, so in the quantum picture, we think that forces arise by the exchange of other particles. So the electric force is mediated by the exchange of photons, rather like a tennis player. You know, a tennis player hitting tennis balls backwards and forwards. If you know, when the ball hits your racket, you get forced backwards.
Mm.
So we believe on the quantum scale that all forces arise in this way. Well, string theory contains within it a vibration of a string which appears like a graviton, which is the hypothetical carrier of the gravitational force. So there's a force between the Earth and the Moon, but actually there are these. We think there may be invisible gravitons going backwards and forwards between the Moon and the Earth, and that's what's causing the force. So the excitement is that this theory contains within it gravity, but it could still be wrong.
Yeah,
it still could be wrong. It turns out that strings are not the most important thing in string theory, because it turns out that the strings, unfortunately, have to vibrate in 10 dimensions of space-time.
Yeah, but even what you're saying, like gravitons and dark matter, and even still, the vast, vast majority of the stuff that is theoretically spoken about hasn't been discovered yet.
Well, that's an incredibly embarrassing place for science to be, and I don't think most scientists have really faced up to it yet, because now we know that at least 95% of the universe is invisible. The stuff that we're made of, the atoms, which make you and me and the planets and the stars, they account for 5% of what there is. In fact, and we've only actually seen half of that, 2.5%. The other half, we think it's like gas between the galaxies or whatever. And an incredible 95%, as you say, is in the form of dark matter, which is material which outweighs the visible stuff by a factor of 6. We know it's there because it tugs on the visible stuff, so we can see it. And then dark energy, which is this stuff which is invisible, fills all the space. It's got repulsive gravity, and it's expanding the universe. Oddly enough, my when I wrote a book about, and I mentioned this, my editor was from Dublin, actually, and he said, "Marcus, this is all complete rubbish." And I thought, my God, he doesn't like my book. But what he was actually saying was, isn't this a ridiculous situation for physics to be in?
Yeah.
Where we've suddenly discovered that we've only been looking at a minor, all of science has been looking at is a minor contaminant of the universe, and we don't really know what the other 95% is.
Marcus, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That's Marcus Chown, the author of The Ascent of Gravity, The Quest to Understand the Force That Explains Everything. We're going to take a break after that. How moths are eating everything.
Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.